The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There, a funny podcast about family. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I'm a comedian and host of this podcast, Dustin Nickerson, here with Stephen English.
Hey.
And we are...
I mean, can you get my credits? I'm also a comedian.
Yeah.
Hey, I hosted a show today with six people in the audience.
Yeah, you're a draw.
So I'm getting there.
I was supposed to headline that show.
You made the right decision.
And I canceled because I am beat from the John Crist Madness Tour.
Yeah.
I've only done 1 week. I leave tomorrow and it's insane. Absolute insanity. We like these shows, like, man, it was like, it's like 6,000 at the Verizon Center in Dallas.
That's nuts.
And then two sold-out shows, 4,500 each in Houston. He sold 9,000 tickets in Houston, man.
That's crazy. And they're still, I think they're still like putting their houses back together. And they're like, you know what? Let's stop.
What are you talking about right now?
Because the hurricanes.
I know, man. Why are you
like,
bringing
let's
that
stop.
Up?
It's
All right. Jeez. You know what, Houston? It's staying in. Houston, I'm so sorry.
Do you know what I was talking about to somebody
the
today?
Artist formerly known as CT English. Dude, it was hot down there.
I was talking to somebody today about, because I've lived a lot of places in the United States, and everywhere I go, and I ask
people
them, like,
know.
I ask them, because like I lived in Maryland, I've lived in the Midwest, and I always go, hey, you guys have tornadoes here. Isn't it scary? Or like in Maryland, I was like, hey, it rains here a lot. Like, don't you think it's scary? And they're like, yeah, but there's earthquakes in California. And I'm like, that's like once every like 5 years. You
yeah,
have this every single
deal.
Year.
Yeah,
which is
that's
scary.
A big, well, you know, we got one. The thing that the real thing that's scary here, though, is fires.
Oh, not for me. I live in like the city.
Fires don't go to the city.
No.
They have before.
We have a bunch. We just have a bunch of craft beer. We'll just put it out with the crates of craft beer.
That's exactly what people in your part of town would do. Can we just
put a saison on it?
Can we just throw a hacky sack at it? Can we just? How do we put this out? Can we just give it some positive vibes and watch the flames diminish? It's Houston was still great, like, because they're so close to the Gulf. So we went from Memphis to Dallas to Houston. Houston, it was like 94 with the humidity. I was like,
yeah.
Y'all know it's fall, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's autumn. Like,
it's too much.
I felt so bad for the kids, like, who got to get in Halloween costumes in like 3 weeks. Like, you know, can we just be Michael Phelps for Halloween? Can we just?
They have heat index. It's like the opposite of wind chill in places with what it's called the heat index. So
yeah.
It says like when it's like
what it is, what it
it's
feels
89
like.
But it feels like, so it's like the opposite of wind chill, which I never knew about.
Yeah,
till
they're like
lived
it's 92,
in Maryland.
But it feels like hell.
But if
like it's what. I always like it. Humidity, when you're not used to it, it's just like you like walk outside and you're like, I think this is what it feels like in my underwear. Like, I think this is the in. This is the sensation. So, but this tour's been amazing, and I'm super tired. And for those of you guys who came out to those shows and are listening now, thank you so much. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. And keep telling friends and so on and so forth. We are doing this intro for this episode today live from my living room.
Yes.
Steven just said there were a couple cops down the road.
A cop rolled up to the, I parked, and a cop rolled up right in front of me, and I thought it was about me. But for the once in my life, it wasn't.
Listen, I don't know how much. Okay, well, I'm going to share this, and then we're going to decide later whether or not this can be on this podcast.
good start.
Because I'm not going to share my address or...
I will.
Like, listen, we live in like a busy area.
Yeah.
Like it's a... We're in La Mesa and we're
Spanish
in...
Spanish for it,
we're
the table.
In, yeah, exactly. We're in between two busy streets.
Yeah.
We're the connector street. Two houses down from us, there is consistent activity.
That's where it was.
Yes. I know exactly where it was. Yeah. By the garage.
Yeah.
There is... There's an older man, but does not dress like an older man.
Nice.
Dressed like a younger woman.
Okay.
And he lives in the garage.
Okay.
And there's a lot of traffic that goes to that garage. That's all I'm saying.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Keep explaining.
The cops are near it a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of traffic. There's a lot of bird scooters that park outside. I don't know what transaction's happening.
You do.
I don't want to know.
I mean, you do.
I don't know. I don't want to know. But this is...
Mel, come explain to him.
Yeah, my wife is... listen, we've got an alarm.
Yeah.
We got the Ring thing.
Simply Safe. Yeah.
We feel safe.
Hey, Simply Safe. You want
to... That house every 3 weeks also tries to sell a full tuba that he puts in the front yard and has like a price for it. He's been trying to sell this tuba.
What's the price though?
It's like $150.
Oof.
I don't know how that is on
tuba
prices.
If it gets to 75, call me. Call me up. If it gets to 75, I'm always in the market for brass.
I hope that nobody hears me with any form of judgment. I'm just telling you why there's a lot of police activity in our general neighborhood. Today's episode is with one of my absolute favorite people.
Yes, he's great.
Barry Rothbart. Barry and I met working the road at a club called Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California, which is near San Jose up in the Bay Area.
Been there.
You have?
Yeah, as an audience member.
Oh, there you go. Oh, to Rooster Teeth. It is my Rooster favorite Teeth, club that shares a wall with a Goodyear. It is Goodyear tires. You don't even see Goodyear tires, right? It's a fun club. So that's like really close to Facebook and Google. Like it's all right there. So fun club. Hopefully I'll be back there playing again soon in that area. But Barry and I met there and hung out and connected, and he comes down and does my room Lestats. Every Tuesday. He doesn't do it every Tuesday. He does about once a year or so. And we recorded this after he had just headlined and had a really good set.
Fantastic.
If you don't know Barry, Barry is a really funny guy. He's a great comedian. He is a great actor. He was in Wolf of Wall Street. He's on the new show. You're looking at me right now like you didn't pay attention during this podcast.
I didn't hear the Wolf of Wall
you
Street thing.
You zoned out during this whole episode that we did with him.
I usually do. I don't.
It's
but you know what? I'm not the audience.
You're not. He's not a really audience. Fantastic comedian, and he's a great actor. He's in the new Showtime show with Jim Carrey on Showtime. Kidding.
Heard
really,
that.
Really good. Yeah. And we have a really fun, interesting, candid conversation with him about his childhood relationship with his parents, also him and his now wife, they're talking about when they want to have kids. And he asked me a lot of questions, and it's a great episode. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
He was definitely like the most engaged. He was asking you questions, which was like cool. Like,
which is great because I'm a narcissist and I'm like, how every time can I look make over this podcast more about me?
Just so you know, when I'm watching, when they're recording the podcast, and I look over and I just see Dustin just itching his neck, just being like, are you going to ask me about
every
me?
Every third question is, do you have any questions for me?
Yeah. I have to edit so much of Dustin being like, so anyways, my life.
Anyways, yeah, that's exactly how I talk. So we hope you guys enjoy this conversation with Barry. You can find him on Instagram at Barry Rothbart, as well as Twitter at Barry Rothbart. That is B-A-R-R-Y. Rothbart, R-O-T-H-B-A-R-T. Really funny guy and a really fun episode. Also, if you have not already followed us on Twitter at Don't Make Me Pod,
or giving us a like on Facebook, please do. More importantly than all those things, if you're sitting here thinking, man, I love this podcast, how can I help this podcast? If you have not subscribed, please do so.
Yeah.
If you have subscribed or haven't, go ahead and hit that rating. Leave us a little review.
That actually helps a ton.
A lot.
Honestly helps a ton.
And Steven's trying to quit his job because his mom and his boss, and she is a real taskmaster.
Yeah.
Taskmaster.
She's a masker.
The tasks. Also, Barry has a podcast. All right. Words are so hard, called Saving the World, which you guys can check out as well. Yeah. So we hope you guys enjoy this episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. And that's it. That's all I got. Any questions for me?
Oh, my God.
Okay. Enjoy.
Did you hear that Kevin Spacey's last movie? You know he released a movie a few months ago? That he was in, starring in
Billionaire
Boys Club. Did you read about how much it made the first week?
Yeah, like $300.
It set the record for the less. It was $146. For a week.
Which does beg the question, who saw it?
So they said there was released in 10 theaters in the United States, and that must mean what? It's like $16 a ticket or so? You do the math. What, like 8 people saw it?
And it was available on MoviePass. That was the only movie you could see on MoviePass at that point.
It is the movie that the Menendez brothers saw before they killed their parents, though. That's real talk.
Billionaire's Boys Club?
Yes.
Wait, what?
The first movie, the first Billionaire's Boys Club was a movie that the Menendez brothers saw.
Oh, so it was a remake.
It's a remake.
I was like, your timeline is not lining up.
Yeah. They went back in time. No, it's a remake of a movie that the Menendez brothers saw the week before, like 2 weeks before they killed their parents.
Wow, what a real interesting reboot.
Wouldn't it be weird though if like, is there a correlation? You know, like, wouldn't it be weird if like you looked at people who committed big crimes and like, what was the last thing in his Netflix queue though?
It was all Billionaire Boys Club. Yeah, Osama bin Laden watched it before he did 9/11.
Before he did 9/11. What if it was just even more arbitrary, you know? Oh, yeah, what did the Oklahoma City bomber? Yeah, he just...
Billionaire Boys Club.
Ren and Stimpy Marathon. Sometimes I feel like stats are just, you know...
Yeah.
They can be made whatever.
I love someone was like, I gotta reboot Billionaire Boys Club.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, finally.
Hey, we need to get a big name.
It's the time.
I don't want people to get too caught up with the nostalgia.
And some poor producer and then exciting casting director got him. Like, dude, we need a big name. We got him. We got Spacey.
We got Spacey. Wait, what? Well, all right, let's release it anyway.
We've come this far. We have to release it. So right before you did your Showtime thing,
sure,
you watched Billionaire Boys Club to like get into character for your role, right?
Yeah, I play Kevin Spacey in the Showtime show
that I brought up. I felt bad earlier. I was like, "Oh, how's the show coming?" Post about it, and I thought it hadn't come out yet. But you told me
people
we're about
always
to get
like
season.
Think that like I'll be upset if they don't watch things I'm in, mm-hmm. and I'm like, you have no f-ing idea how much I don't care if anyone. I actually prefer people don't watch it because then people can't be like, I liked it or didn't like it, or it's like easy. You didn't watch it.
What do you
want? I don't have to then be like, oh, did you like what happened? You know,
that's true.
You know what I mean? It's just easier. It's like when people, do you still like when people go like, hey, I want to check you out. I want to see your show. Like citizens, like normal people.
Like as long as there's no follow up questions.
Like your mom's friends being like, I want to see your show.
Yeah.
Your skits. And then, see your skits.
But they say it to you always as if you're like, you can't, you just would love for people to see to come to your show.
Well, and I always feel like, well, you know, the odds of it being a good show.
Yeah. And also I want strangers. I don't want my wife's friends to see me.
Yeah. I like when they go, so when's your next show?
Yeah.
I got a lot. I mean, do you want to come to chronologically the next one? Yeah. I do them most nights.
Yeah. It's like that. It's like, I don't need you to watch it, man. You're fine.
Yeah.
It's like the one rating won't do anything for me.
It's for the best.
Yeah.
We say that on the podcast and that honestly, just subscribe and rate it and download it. But don't listen to this garbage.
No, don't listen to any podcast.
And then the next time that you see me, you feel like you got to talk about it. No, just put it on mute. Let us get to listen.
I have a theory that actually no one has ever listened to a comedy podcast. Ever. Since comedy podcast. Maybe WTF. I think a few people. But no one has ever listened to a podcast.
I've only listened to the show one time. Be honest with you. I've listened to it
Have you
one
listened
time.
To any comedy podcast? I know you've listened to WTF.
Yeah, I listened.
Or you
yeah.
made it weird. But
I listen to it like when I'm at work.
You were
yeah.
texting me all week about Ranazizi's. Ranazizi's, that's
yeah.
what you say?
New one. Yeah. Hear me this book?
Mm-hmm.
Because Eric Griffin's on there, and it was weird because I just saw Eric Griffin.
It'd be great if we could get a guest and, like that. Amen. I'm sorry.
That's on you. I just pressed record. That's
you
all I
related to Kathy Griffin?
Married.
Oh, they're married.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's really...
He took her name.
So how are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for doing the show tonight. I appreciate
was that loud?
You
I just
out.
Hit the mic.
Hey, that's hey. When we started. You is wanted it, to start. Going? It doesn't start until we do a question. I touched your shoulder earlier, and you did not like it. Are you not like touch?
I don't like touch.
No.
I like touch that, if Barry. It's intentional. I don't like kind of.
I intentionally
like,
touched you. It wasn't
no,
an accident.
But like if there's like a hug. I like hugs.
Okay.
I don't like being poked or
a
touched.
Tickle.
Or like tickled against my will, or especially, you know, what's weird is like after shows, a lot of times audience members, when they see you after a show, will come up to you, especially at clubs like in the Midwest for some reason, and they'll just like start touching you, like they'll put their arm around you.
Oh yeah.
Or they'll like
they'll rub the shoulder.
Yeah, they'll
a little
be like,
bit.
Hey, what's up? Or you know, like a woman will kind of grab your arm and pull mm-hmm. you over to talk to her friends, or like, and I hate it. I hate it so much. I can't.
It is so weird that they feel like it's okay.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, I can touch him. I heard him talk, so now I can just physically.
Yeah. I almost pushed a woman's hand off of me after a show at Comedy on State in Madison once. She was like, somehow she like put her hand on me, and my gut reaction was just to be like, like my
no.
reflex, and I like pushed her hand off, and it was like odd. Yeah, it's I don't like it.
Why do you think they
I
do
like
it?
I liked when you touched me earlier. I thought that was fine. To
I
be honest.
I well, I rejected I, he was sitting on the couch here and I tried to give him a hug and he rejected it. But then
it
you
was
just
a fun rejection.
Two arm wrapped around my waist.
Yeah, I like,
like
that.
A toddler
I like to
on
be in
head.
Power. That's what it is. I like to be the one hugging. Not getting hugged.
As long as I'm the alpha yeah, in yeah. the situation,
yeah, it's a power
I initiate
move, man.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how's that work out with the wife? Is Oof. She the same way? Does she like touch?
I just close my eyes and let her do the job. I don't know. I don't even know what's happening half the time.
That's your same approach to driving. Yeah. You told me. How are you gonna drive? Yeah, just follow.
I hope we get there.
You're treating it as if we have the yeah. You know the. Autumn, the what's the word I'm looking
Autopilot.
For? The self-driving cars now.
We do, right?
You're preparing in advance.
Yeah, you know, I heard that self-driving cars, they don't allow you to put your hands off the wheel, though, or something like that. Like, your hands have to still be touching the wheel.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, that defeats the purpose, right?
Yeah, because they don't want you to just, like, go to bed or, you know, like, they don't want you to just, like...
You have to be able to correct
yeah,
it if it has
like
a complete
Tesla self-driving car, you have to actually, like, have your hand physically. I guess you could tape your hands to the wheel.
That's lame.
Or, yeah.
I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you guys just had your two-year anniversary, though. You and your lady, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where'd you go? I saw something on the Insta.
We went to Maine.
As you do.
Yeah, we were,
That's where you're from,
we were supposed
though,
to go to North Carolina. And then the Florence thing happened. And we were like,
how dare she?
Yeah, we were just like, yeah, we can't risk that. So we went to Maine. And I don't know. It was nice. I don't really know how to vacation anymore.
No.
Are you good at vacations?
They're different with the fam, you know. Me and my wife went on one last year and like we weren't, I didn't know what to do.
Mm.
And we were like in Kauai. Like it was like a nice one.
Mm.
And
what do you do? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how to enjoy it. Like after a day or two, I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like I'm missing something. Or I want to do something and do work. I don't know. I'm f***ed up, man.
Yeah. Do you get antsy? Like
I do, yeah. I've talked to my therapist about it. I don't know what it is.
What'd they say?
I can't just like
Did
chill out
an
for a week. Can you just take a week and be like, I'm not doing anything?
No, absolutely not.
I can't. How do people do that?
Even when I was on paternity leave, like when our first kid was born and like the day job I had at the time, they give you like a week off.
You took paternity leave from stand-up.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Which is like... You just didn't do stand-up.
Yeah, the union took care of me. Yeah, yeah. A leave from stand-up is you just don't do stand-up. Yeah. It's very informal. Though, I 2 days in, I was like, all right, you got this, right? Babe, I got to go to work. I don't like just doing nothing.
Hey, what do we do? We're useless.
Well, but especially because the kid doesn't care about me. 2 days old, and I don't
That's
care about
the thing,
it.
Man. It's like it? You really.
Yeah, to tell it smiles, it's not human.
I'm thinking about having a kid now, and I'm like, what? At what age do you start enjoying a kid?
Six months.
Like, really enjoying.
About 45 a kid. Years old? Like, you personally? Or when at the age
when
of
the
child?
With what?
How old is the kid when you start enjoying it?
Yeah.
6 months, yeah.
I don't. Me?
Yeah. Just still waiting.
Let's see, my oldest is 11. I think.
Like, when you know, when you're like, I can. Well,
for me,
it's a kid.
It's like. Like one, because they start like having more normal, like reactive human responses. Like they're like walking and moving and laughing and tickling, and they engage with you before. Because
it's like having a cat. That you have to take like really, really good care
of. And you are just another, right? Like a little bit better than you take care of a normal cat.
Right. Yeah. But you have to like constantly be monitoring this cat.
Yeah.
All the time.
And like a cat, that baby does not care about you.
Yeah.
If you're not mom.
Doesn't care.
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all. Like, I don't buy into any of that. You know, I talked to him when it was in the womb and it recognized my voice. No. It comes out and it's home and food source.
So you just skipped town.
Yeah.
You were just like, I don't need to be there.
I took whatever paternity leave from my family was. I'm off from work. That's when you start to enjoy it a little more, and it feels a little less like a chore all the time. Mm. Like, there are moments, of course, that are like, oh my gosh, this is the cutest little thing in the world. But, like, how much can you stare at a thing and just enjoy it? Like, you know, like, oh my gosh, this thing's so beautiful, and it's this ball of life, and it came from you and your spouse made it, or whatever.
Yeah,
and that's,
I don't know.
You don't just stare at it like, oh my gosh, I'm so... And that doesn't fill you for an hour at a time. You'll just look at them and be like, oh, you're so cute.
But you love it.
Of course I love it. Yeah. But
I'm just concerned you keep saying it.
Well, I have three kids. I'm not going to say it. Joel. Love I'm not going to name the child.
Joel. He, him, her.
Wow, Joel's a
them.
Guy.
Yeah.
I was trying to talk about it on stage, but it's weird because, and I guess you remember a time before you had kids. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone is like, oh, you're going to love having a kid. It's going to like change you. Like you're gonna experience this new love of this kid, and you're gonna love it so much, but until it happens, you don't love kids. You know what I mean? Like I don't know how to say it on stage.
No,
I've been trying to.
That's exactly it.
You know, like I love my kid,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like I just go around being like, God, I love my friend's kids, and I love this kid I see on the street.
Yeah.
So until you have your own, you have to just trust that you're gonna love kids.
Yeah, I have no affection for any child that's not mine.
Yeah,
including nephews and nieces.
Yeah.
They're just another child.
Yeah, because people are like, do you want to have kids? How the f*** do I know? How do you know if you want to have kids? You can't go back once you try.
Oh, you can.
You know what I mean? Like, my friend was like, you should try babysitting our kid and see if you like it.
No.
It's like, that is not what having a kid is.
Babysitting is good to see if you are responsible enough.
Yeah. It's like, okay, let me babysit
it alive
for like a year. Is that what you're saying? Like,
let me adopt it long enough that it starts calling me dad.
See if I like it. Yeah.
What it feels as I'm its guardian.
And I have to love it equally.
More it. I don't know. Does your wife want, you guys want to have kids soon? Because you were talking about that on stage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think it's time. Yeah.
How do you know?
There's a clock. There's like a literal clock that you have to. Yeah. Well, she's 32, so we have like a little bit of time, but we don't want to be too old. In case we want another, I don't know. Yeah, I think we gotta do it soon.
See, you speak with if we have another.
Like, yeah, I don't know. The whole thing's so
like
foreign.
You're talking about like furniture.
Yeah.
Like we want to get this one chair.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
But that's the thing I'm trying to say is like, how do you get excited about it? Like, what am I excited about? When I'm like, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to have a kid. Like, you're not excited because you haven't met this kid. You know?
You're not sure.
I don't know who this kid is.
Yeah, they might suck.
How am I supposed to be excited about it? You know? Like, I'll do it because I don't want to not have a kid. I don't want to be like a guy who doesn't have a kid
sure.
or has never had a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I know once I have it, I'll be like, this is great. Like, I love this thing.
Yeah.
But right now I'm like, yeah, I guess I'll give it a go. You know, there's no excitement.
I think you'll be.
Were you excited to have a kid?
Yes.
Why?
But more excited.
Are you Mormon?
Yeah.
That was so Barry and I have known each other for a couple of years. That was like, hi, I'm Dustin. And then he found out I had some kids. And then the next question is, are you Mormon? It's amazing how often the question it comes up. I was.
Well, it seems like you're religious.
I'm a Christian.
Are you religious?
Yeah.
Is that why you had kids young?
Yes and no. I would say the bigger thing, I mean, it's why we got married young.
Oh.
You know, because we were like, you got to wait till marriage. And we'd been together for like 2.5 years. And I was like, the ages 16 through 18, I was like, okay, so let's get married.
Yeah.
I'm pretty antsy, you know.
Because you have to.
Yeah. So that was kind of what fueled getting married. But we had been together. It wasn't like a, you know, like, hey, we just met in youth group. Let's get married next month. We'd been together for a couple of years.
Arranged? It was an arranged marriage?
It was an arranged marriage, yes.
What was the dowry?
2 cows. But it wasn't why we had kids early. I didn't want to be old dad. I never want to be old dad. Like, I love that, like, I played on the trampoline with my kids today, you know, because, like, I felt like, even though my dad wasn't that old, isn't that much, like, when I was young, he just, like, wasn't, like, really physical and able to, like, play with me a lot, and he was, like, in pain a lot, and his back hurt, because he had...
That's a really good point.
And it's so fun to, like, wrestle with your kids and play catch with your kids and, like actually not just, like, and do, like, really physical stuff.
And be able to beat him,
you know, beat him and wrestle him.
Just be able to beat him, yeah,
that's
what it is.
And a power slam and the whole thing.
All right, can you answer some questions for me?
Yes, I'm so happy.
So is it good for your career to have a kid? I've heard some people be like, it helps your career.
How do they say it helps? I wonder.
Cause it like gives you like a deeper motivation or like a deeper purpose and you don't worry about the small stuff as much.
Yeah.
And then like, who said, I think Louis C.K. actually said it somewhere that like once he had kids, his career, like I can say Louis C.K.
we're going to bleep that out.
Just make a note. You have to say what?
We draw
1734, bleep out the name.
We already had to cut all the spacey stuff.
I don't know. Yeah. Did you find like a new motivation to like succeed?
Well, I didn't. Comedy was before I had kids.
So I
had two kids when we started comedy. So I don't know. But I will say that I think the fact that, you know, I had a family and I'd been married for a while. When I started, I had like, I think an urgency that guys that didn't have that, like, because I had, like, within the first year, I was like, I have to figure out how to make this work or I can't do it. You know, like, I can't just go and do open mics all the time and just, like, lose money and hemorrhage cash in the name of my dreams.
It keeps you focused on, like, the goal.
And I think that...
Money.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, to be professional, that was the main goal. Like, can I, you know, and so there were things that I feel like because I was working from that, like, I just kind of learned the business side of it faster.
Sure.
And part of it was because I was older, too. I wasn't old, but I was 27. Like, you know, at 27, like, you at least have some idea of how the world works. And so I was like, oh, this probably is booked by someone. And this is, like, I was decent at, you know, like, as opposed to, like, the 19-year-old open micers who probably take more risks on stage. You know, but don't understand, like, some just, like, the human nature of it, like. You know, there's
you were like an adult. You had kids.
Yeah. I'd been married for 9 years and we had 2 kids when I started
more,
doing
Do you feel
comedy.
Like more
it was
like
embarrassing.
Like a real, like established adult now that when you have kids, like you walk into a room and you're like, I'm not to be toiled with. I'm a father.
I wear a shirt that says not to be toiled with.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you're not some dumb kid. You're a dad.
I would say I did before I was a professional comedian.
You did what?
And felt more like a responsible adult in a room.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I have no credit whatsoever. They're like, you know, like I dropped my girl Glory off at school and I I'm like, everyone knows I'm late half the time.
Oh. So you're a bad dad.
The office people are just looking at me like, it's 8:30. You can't get him. You live across the street from the school and you couldn't get him by 8:30. And they all know I'm going back to bed as soon as I can.
Oh, man.
So I think when I was middle managing at a rec center and I had kids and I was, you know, like had a normal job and a normal life, maybe a little bit, but I don't.
Like,
Yeah. Do you feel like that'll add it to your life if you have a kiddo? Like now, everyone's toiling with you now, but once you have a kid, bring an end to the toiling.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm probably going to have a bigger purpose. I don't know. Like, because sometimes when you don't have kids, you don't have kids, right?
No, we're trying, though.
You're trying.
Yeah. So we got to hurry this up. So
right now.
We're trying right now. Yeah, it's like I feel like you kind of can be like, what's the, who cares about stuff? And then, like, when you have a kid, you're like, I have to care. I have this purpose and this thing I love. And I don't know. I feel like I think too much about myself.
And that the kid will
dogs help me. When I got dogs, I was like, I could think about something else now.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think that that's a common, like, refrain that's true when people talk about kids help you think bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
And it's not out of, like, some, like, moralistic you're better than people that don't have kids now. It's literally just now you have this thing that you have to provide for,
like you'll get in trouble
or
if
you're
if
the
dies.
Worst
get
human
trouble.
Alive
you'll get in
you
trouble
know?
If it
yeah
dies.
Well, or you're like, just the like nobody, like the worst thing that you can tell somebody is that they're a bad parent, even like even if you know you're a bad parent, if somebody it hurts so bad if somebody hints at it or like people get so defensive.
But here's the thing, it's like, what's a bad parent, really? Like, what's, you know, there's obvious ones. It's like, you know, if you punch your kid, you know, I guess if you punch him a certain level.
Where did you punch him? How
hard
did
you
punch
him? Like, you know, kid touchers are bad.
Kid touchers.
Like, you know, there's like bad. There's like bad. But then if you eliminate that, it's like, what's really a bad parent, right? There's like, what, you know, you didn't give them enough attention on certain days or, you know. Like, what is it? I don't know. What is a bad parent?
I think it's any form of abuse and neglect. But if you can do your best to not emotionally or physically abuse.
But, like, what? There's, like, what's neglect, you know? Like, I was neglected, I guess.
Yeah.
I remember there was, like, I would go weeks without my mom talking to me. Seriously. Like, as a kid. Like, we would, you know, she'd give food, you know, and be like, here, you know, like.
She'd give food.
Maybe you know? Would you ever think you were a boring kid?
Ooh.
Maybe that's what it was.
Steven, you can't insult the guest.
Well, you want me to be honest? Yes. Let me see.
2252.
Check that off. Yes. I was pretty positive I was a boring kid. Yeah.
Parents said that. Mom, you never talked to me. Well, you're pretty boring.
Yeah. Can't say anything
okay, good.
To say.
Could you
maybe
up
I'll
with
do comedy one day.
Could you come up with some good stories, Barry? Give me a joke. Give me some anecdote.
But then, like, here's the thing. If you're the best parents, which is like, I'm just going to be so attentive and, you know, teach them so much empathy and be so supportive and be there and be everything. And then you have, like, either a boring kid or a weirdo, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that what happens?
I think that's the stats. Yeah. You're a good parent, you make a boring kid or a weirdo. But I think a boring kid's okay. No? What's the goal?
No.
What's that? That's the question. What's the goal in parenting?
Just to keep them alive. Long enough, right?
How long? Like if you get to 14, you're like, that was
18,
a good run.
Legally,
18.
Right? Isn't it? What's your goal? I mean, to have them be happy, right? But then what's happy? It's like, you know. If they have too much of a sense of self, then maybe they won't be happy for a while because there's a huge letdown.
Yeah, happiness is I don't think you can parent happiness. I don't think you can put that in a child.
Right. So what do you do?
I don't. My goal, like I shouldn't say goal, because I don't want to speak about them like they're like my quarterly business numbers.
No, but
you know.
You have to have a
my
goal.
My hope is that my are like virtues for my kids. That they are kind and that they work hard, you know, like that's all that you
but
can
how
really
do you teach
help.
That do you show it or do you tell
you
it?
You show it and you tell it.
Yeah,
I think you instill it in them. Like my son plays a lot of sports.
Empathy is a big one.
Empathy, and I think that that's where it fuels from.
Yeah,
and there's like 1,000 little lessons, like word and thing we're talking about with our two oldest kids right now, because there's a little distance, so 11, 8, and 4 is playing with a 4-year-old, and they're like, well, those are little kids. And so we talk about the virtues of like being young at heart. Like, but look how happy you can make her if you just put this thing aside and you go play with her little Paw Patrol toys, and you will be young at heart, just like I'm young at heart with you, you know, like there are, and I play with you, like I don't want to play Barbies. So there are times like that where you're trying to teach kindness, but like through this.
They're showing it.
Yeah. So those are.
I don't think
hopes.
My parents showed me any of that.
No, I don't think mine did either.
I really don't think they did.
I think every,
maybe you got it all wrong. Then.
So are they bad parents? You know, it's like.
Well, you answer that. I don't know. Are your parents bad parents?
I don't know. I like who I am.
Yeah.
I guess.
Is that because of them?
You know, I guess everyone has problems. I go to therapy and I have to talk about a lot of issues I have, but mm-hmm. I think everyone has that. I don't know. I don't know if they're
bad. I think everybody has that. Yeah. But
I do know that there, you know, did you see the Mr. Rogers documentary?
I did not, because I couldn't emotionally do it, because everyone told it, like, it wrecked me, and I was, like, on the road when it was in theaters, and I was like, I can't.
Yeah, I just hate, you hate Mr. Rogers.
No,
so
I love Mr. Rogers, but it's like a heart, it's like, you're just going to bawl the whole time, right? Like,
no.
I already cry when I'm on the road, so
I do, too. Yeah, I really do.
We need to work together.
Yeah, I really do cry a lot.
I'm so sad.
The road is brutal, man. It's so hard. People don't talk enough about how brutal the road is as a comedian. It is the only, I tried to do a joke about this too once. It's really the only job where you have to be that alone.
Hmm.
You know, where there's no interaction. Like, I can't think of another job like that, right?
No.
Where you don't have anyone working with you.
No.
You don't talk to anyone for your job. You could be like, oh, you're a traveling journalist. At least then you're interviewing people.
Yeah,
right?
People who travel a lot, now when they get there, they have people they talk to.
Yeah, so if you're traveling for a business, you have coworkers that you meet or a business meeting or something. But comedians don't have any of that. Mm-mm. There's none of that. You're just stopping it. There's times on the road where I just wouldn't talk to another human being until I'm on stage doing an hour of stand-up.
Which
and
is
helpful for a whole day. Yeah.
And then you go straight back to
and
the hotel.
And then you go straight back to your hotel. Well, there's nothing like that.
And the options of who you can talk to aren't usually great options.
Okay, so yeah, there's Panera Bread cashier.
Who also bartends at the club.
Front desk. Front desk at the hotel, if you have a hotel. Club owner, which is like, oof.
Small chatted with maids before. I've just been like, they'd swing by. And I'd be like, this coffee.
Time's up, dude. Time's up.
What do you think of the coffee, man? I think it's great. Do you want to come in for a cup?
Don't do it. No.
Because you get starved for human attention. And I just don't like.
I know, yeah.
When I saw Birbiglia's last movie, the one about the improv troupe, Don't Think Twice, did you see it?
Yeah.
I saw it and I was doing a sad weekend in Tucson, as all the weekends in Tucson are. And I just bawled I couldn't. Because that's like a horror story, that movie. It's like, as a comedian or as like an artist, of like, some of your friends make it, and some of you keep serving samples at the grocery store, and you're going to have some falling out with your friends, and then the person who makes it isn't actually even happy, and I'm like, this is
wasn't
too much.
Wasn't the ending of the story he turns down SNL or something?
I think he gets SNL, but he's not happy. And then, like,
Birbiglia's character, like, was offered an SNL job, and he was like, no thanks. I'm going to do local theater in Pittsburgh.
No. She doesn't go to the audition.
Yeah.
She walks out because she's like, I just want to do my one resume. The goal is money.
Yeah. That's the thing, is a lot of comics who I know have auditioned for or tried to audition for SNL, they're like, I don't even think I want it. Like, they're like, do you really want SNL? It's like, oh, I hear it's like so stressful. It's like, are you f***ing kidding me?
Let's see
when you're offered SNL what happens, you know?
I don't even know if I want it. Yeah. Were you ever asked to audition? No.
No, of course not. So the Mr. Rogers doc, there's a point in there that I've actually heard this too, that there's a point in a kid's development where they have to be given unconditional confidence and support.
Hmm.
And that's how you make a good person or like a healthy person.
Did
it's
you
like
feel
from
like
the age of like 2 to 7 or something, you have to
like
just like,
I already blew it on two
like
of my kids.
Never. Seems like too you much. Have to just be like, you are amazing.
Yeah.
Everything you do is great. You're so special. You're supported. Don't be scared of anything. And if they don't get that, then you kind of get stuck in a certain part of childhood for the rest of your life.
Oh, geez.
Which is like what happened to me and probably a million other people, is like, I don't think I got that. Mm. So I'm still craving things that I should have gotten then.
Yeah.
Which is why I do this, you know,
because you need that affirmation.
You need it.
Yeah.
For real. Yeah. They said that in the Mr. Rogers thing. It's like, that's what he tried to do. That was his mission, was to just make kids feel like they were okay and special and, you know, all that.
I think that's why I do stand-up, too. I think that there were voids that I had that from my parents' divorce, and because my parents split when I was like five.
Four for me.
Yeah. And, you know, that was the every other weekend thing with the mom, and, you know, she was doing her best, but she had some, you know, I wasn't seeing her a whole lot. And you just, you know, you look back and, like, you know, for years, like 5 through 8, to not be getting a lot of hugs, you know, and
true.
And like my dad was, you know, doing his best. And but, you know, he's a single dad. He doesn't really have the tools to
kind
of
sense it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you can kind of make kids not feel that and not understand that, you know, I think people on like participation trophies and stuff. But yeah. I think that's necessary for a certain age. And then after they get to a certain age, you could explain to them how much the world sucks.
Yeah.
And you could kind of let them in a little on it.
Yeah.
But I think once they get to that to that point, they can process it a little better.
I've heard so many people rant against the participation trophy, and I'm so with you. There is no harm in that.
None.
There's none.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, even if you're getting them when you're a little older, you know if you lost.
Yeah.
There were plenty of times I got a participation trophy and I didn't keep it because I was like, I didn't win the game. We lost 11-0. I know what losing feels like. Like, I'm not an idiot.
But also, like, they will understand losing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
when they're ready to understand losing.
Yeah. You don't need to. Yeah. There's not like you go through life and you're just like, I've never lost until I was 21.
Yeah. And I'm like, and I'm like, you know what? My parents divorced when I was 5. I know life can be a bummer. How about you give me
How about you just, like, let me play soccer and enjoy it?
How about I get a trophy and a pizza party at Godfather's because things are a little rough right now.
It's so stupid.
My nephew was he used to be a gymnast, and he was, like, a nationally ranked gymnast for a while. And they used to give They used to give but they used to give the ribbons, the medals, down to like sometimes 10th place sometimes, and some he just wouldn't go up sometimes. If he got like a 6th place one, he's like, I'm not going up
there.
They
get it.
He's like, I'm not doing that.
They totally get it.
He's like, he didn't want to go up there for a 3rd place one because he's like, dude, if I'm not winning, like it's like. And I was like, but I thought about me as like a little kid, I'd be like, if it had been like 13th place, I'd been like, yes, this means Stephen English, give me it right now. I needed it.
I think that if you can provide a household where your kids feel loved and cherished and protected, and that will be full of imperfections and failures. I think I carry a lot of shame when I make mistakes as a parent. You know, I yell at my kids, I get mad, or especially with your first kid, when you really are just figuring it out. And we were really young too, like 23, you know, just like, how do we handle this? What are we supposed to do with this? And you just, and you don't realize that, like, there's no one way to parent. Kids are too different. You're different. It's about finding out what's, at least for us, what's right for them and what's right for you and what you're comfortable and what they're responsive to. And, you know, I have 3 kids. They're being raised in the exact same scenario, and they're all wildly different and all wildly responsive to different things. And so a lot of time when I'm feeling, like, ashamed as a parent because of my mistakes that I've made, or I've been too harsh, or, you know, whatever it may be, like, that's what I kind of come back to as, like, you know, do they feel loved? Do they feel cherished? Yeah. Do they feel protected? Yeah. Or do they have an active lifestyle? Do we encourage, you know, kindness and these type things? And that's like the best you can do. And know
then you hit them.
Yeah. But I know that they'll be in therapy. I hope that they're in therapy later.
Sure.
You know, I hope that whatever scars we put on them, they work out, you know, because there's just no such thing as a perfect childhood. Yeah,
my parents were overbearing. It's like, well, I'm complaining about my parents being absent.
What a gift.
So, you know, it's like,
what a life of a therapist. Like, this person in here just before you.
Do you go to therapy?
I don't, no.
I think about, like,
can't afford it.
It's some of the shit I complain about is like, who knows? In the scheme of things, it's like, how do you fucking listen to this all day?
Yeah.
Like, I'm complaining about my manager, and it's like, come on, man.
That's an LA therapist thing.
I know. So what you must hear.
But that's what you're saying is exactly what makes a good therapist is what makes a good parent is that when they bring something to you, you don't belittle their problems. And that's what I'm trying to understand more as a parent, especially with my boy, who you're like, you want to do that old, like, man up, kid. And you're like, no, man, this was really hard for him. That's why he's crying. Don't just hit him.
Listen. Active listening. And then when the hour's up, get really cold.
Hey, this is about our time is almost up, so I'm going on paternity
leave.
That's
the weirdest thing with my therapist. It's like, whenever that hour's up, man, it gets weird. It's just like, it's over. Like, when it's over, it's over. I've tried asking, like, one more question after the time's up, and he's just like, we'll talk about it next week. Like, all right, let's just get the f*** out of here.
I had this thought that I thought about doing in a bit, but, like, if my kids do, like, I think if you go to therapy and you're complaining about your childhood, then your parents should be there to tell their side of the story. Like, what really happened leading up to it? Like, do they have, like,
There's family therapy.
Yeah, I think it'd be good, because I wonder, like, if, like, you tell a story to your therapist, or I do, or whatever, that therapist never they never wonder if it's true. They just assume it's true. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so you could be in there lying.
Well, the thing, what I've noticed is, like, truth does not matter in therapy. What matters is what you perceive as true, because they're trying to change your truth.
Hmm.
So basically what I've understood is the kind of basis for therapy is that you created a roadmap when you were a kid for what life should be, and it's wrong. Seriously,
you created it.
People, humans create a roadmap. Like, this is what will make people love me. This is what will make people think I'm interesting. This is why people hate me. This is what life is like. This is how I should do this.
Right.
And you create it at a young age based on falsities, based on false assumptions. You know, like, you'll be like, I'm unloved, so I need to make people love me somehow. And then for the rest of your life, you'll go with this roadmap being like, I have to convince people to love me.
Which is why you're a stand-up comedian.
Which is like a f***ed up lesson to learn. Mm-hmm. And then one day, someone has to be like, no, that's the wrong way to look at it. People will just inherently like you or not like you. You don't have to, like, beg for people to like you as, like, a rule.
Yeah.
You know? And that takes a while to learn that.
Is there
so any... it's like not about what's true. It's about basically like, what do you think is true? Because it's not true. Most of the shit we worry about is not true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, is there any way to help a child to not have that? Like you said, if it's based on falsities and...
No, they're going to just learn false things and they're going to just take it through life.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of what growing up is.
Because, your brain, you take in these things and you just take it as is.
Yeah.
You have that experience. You get bullied in second grade.
Yeah. And you just learn something wrong.
Right.
Yeah. It's like I took my my dogs, I adopted them from a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And forever, I'll be done in a second. You guys both just tuned out.
I was just kidding. I just go give you the light. So, your dogs from the shelter.
Anyway, so my dog, what's going on there?
Yeah, they're running a coffee shop.
Oh, doesn't sound like how you run a coffee shop.
Yeah, you just bang things around.
Anyway, my dog Oreo, for like a while, would every time we put food down, he would just eat it as f***ing fast as he could, right? Because he was taught, like, there was like a period, I think there was maybe a communal feeding or something.
So you just got to get it.
So he learned the lesson while he was in the shelter that food has to be eaten fast.
Right.
And it took him like a year to learn that's not how you eat food. And I think we're kind of like that. Like we have these really false things that we've learned that are just not true. And we just keep doing them.
Yeah.
You know, like we keep being like, I have to eat this food fast, or like, I have to quickly make sure people like me. But all these fucked up things that we learn. Yeah. And then you have to kind of figure out what's the truth.
You know, it's funny when you talk that story, mine lesson, one of the false things is the same as your dog's, is you have to eat the food while you have it.
Yeah. You have to really eat it.
Because I was raised by a single dad. Yeah. It's like, we get like a meal a day.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to eat this later, if Jessica's going to come home as my sister, or Uncle Butch living downstairs. Yeah. If he gets in a drunken stupor, he'll eat it.
I learned a lesson that you have to eat to make yourself happy. like way beyond when you're full. Like you just have to keep going, and then one day maybe you'll feel comfortable. I don't know.
Yeah. There's just no logic to that.
No, I don't know. I eat to feel happiness. So we all have our things. Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, the therapy and stuff that you're doing, I mean, it's great to do that work before you have a kid, to have a better understanding of your childhood and what you went through and to talk through these things. I
mean,
you know, you'll hit them less.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At least less hard.
Less hard.
Same amount. Same frequency, just a little less hard. Open hand.
No, I would never hit kids. I hope you guys don't either.
No, I don't hit my kids.
That's good.
No, I will hit other kids.
Yeah, I've hit Dustin's
such a
kids
hack
before.
Such a
that's
hack.
Good. That's a great
you know, you said you have the affection for other kids, none for the other kids. Any kid.
You'll just discipline.
That's that is a straight Karen Rontowski joke. She did that on Letterman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was in a Walmart the other day, and I've already given away the punchline at this point.
Yeah.
And I was so mad, and my kids, that I took a hanger off the rack and I just started hitting them. And then I was like, wait, I don't have kids.
That's good.
Hey, ooh, that's
not as good as your punchline.
Take that, Karen Rontowski. That was like you knocking on the door. You missed it earlier. There he comes in. He's doing this bit. Knocks on this little door. Is this wood? And like, it's funny. We're all laughing. And then
I was like, Nick Rutherford does this joke. Have you ever heard this joke where he's like, this is what every dad's like. And they come in and they knock on the wall and they're like, is this wood? What is this? Oak? And it was literally the bit
I just did.
It was like, not like, it was like, that was inspired by that bit. I literally did Nick Rutherford's bit. Yeah.
What I was going to say earlier is when you were talking about whether you're going to be excited about a kid, what I found, and I think this was especially true as I got a little bit older with our second and third kids, is the experience from when you find out that, you know, your partner is pregnant, like the euphoria kicks in this weird, almost metaphysical, unexplainable way. And because you can objectively look a scenario like you're saying of like, I don't know that I would be that excited about this. And then this person that you love and you're spending your life with and you're committed to has life in them. And you're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then it kind of starts to kick and you see the pregnancy and then the labor and then the child's there.
Yeah.
Like it is. You're exactly right. Because I don't care when my friends have kids. I don't send a text. I don't care. Well, especially if I get, you know, all my Christian friends are like 5-6 in. You're like, oh, enough. Enough. What are you trying to prove?
Yeah.
There's nothing. This isn't a contest.
That's another thing. I know none of my friends will listen to this, but they're... I mean, maybe
that's
they will.
That's right. You insulted him. He insults the podcast.
I feel like I can't understand. Like, there's a certain pride that parents now, who I know, have in photos of their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Where they'll show it to me and they'll be like, do you believe this? Look at this face that they made. And then it's like, look at this other face.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, they were laying down. And it's like, look, they were sitting up. And it's like, I don't get it. It's like odd. Like,
you don't
see it. Like, I can't understand why it's so mind-blowing to you, these photos.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll understand when it's my kid. I'll be like, this photo, look at him. He's smiling, and now he's, like, not smiling. And now, you know.
He does both.
He does all the emotions.
Do you understand?
Frowns.
He smiles
and like,
doesn't
smile.
Yeah,
like, how crazy is this kid? How cute is this? But to me, I'm like, this is just a kid. It looks like any kid. You're just showing me a photo of a kid. Just a kid.
I don't know that. And actually, it would almost be weird if you were super into it.
Yeah, that's
show
the bit.
Me more. Yeah, show me more.
Oh my God! Wait, hold on. Let me see. And I zoom in.
You're telling the dad, I don't think you appreciate this kid enough. This kid, he needs more from you.
Yeah.
I can give this kid what you're not giving.
That's great. That's
Let me give my email. Let me give my email. You can shoot those over to me.
Barry, I think you're going to be a great dad.
Oh, thank you.
I can't.
Finally.
I think it's going to be a great year
Finally,
for you.
Someone said it.
Just don't tell Dustin because he won't care. Just when it happens.
I care enough about you that your first kid, the first kid of a dear friend, I'll care about.
Okay.
Steven, no. I didn't even get invited to his wedding.
All right, you're going
to
babysit?
You're not coming to the baby shower.
No,
either,
my
so.
Oldest child will babysit.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay. Nice.
You can pay him less than minimum wage. and it'll be the most money he's ever heard of.
All right.
You offer a kid, you offer an 11-year-old $10. It's infinity. You offered them infinity money right there. All right. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Thank you, man. This was a lot of fun. You can see me at Lestat's on
once every 9 to 10 months.
Yeah, once every 9 to 10 months.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.